Welcome to A Course in Miracles. So everybody here is already on a train. You've left the platform, the doors are closed, and you're zipping down the track on a train. Where you got on is so far gone, it's ridiculous to think that you are on a train, you're committed, and this journey that you think is you, this whole idea of what you think you are, you're on that train, fast moving, and being more and more what you think you are as a body in time and space. With all the costs, the few benefits too that come with being in a body. I mean, really. But do you recognize the people that have come to this room and are willing to study this big book? They've got this little awakening that has happened in them somewhere, somehow. This little book somewhere, somehow says, wait a minute! I now see where this train is going. I now see how fast that if I don't do anything, it will rehearse suffering of some type over and over. Suffering of some type is pretty much guaranteed if you identify with the body. Even Jesus did not go well for him in the end. Maybe it hurt a lot. He became a manifestation of the right mind and got so excited about it. He says, "What's this? I'm going to come back into those who were digging what I was saying, and I'm going to show them spirit trumps body." Got off the train. Got so excited about it that manifested this book for us to sit around in this circle tonight in this room for those who can hear it. And everybody who's here deserves to be here and should be here. Because an awakening is called upon you by you. A part of you that you've forgotten about. But that heart saying, time's up. It's time to return, to re-empower you, to put back all of the power that you've taken away, to get off this train that if you don't do anything, will zip you down the same tracks that you already know. Time, space, body, suffering, inevitable. Alright. Now, A Course in Miracles describes to us that we are the dreamer of the dream. This is chapter 27, okay? And we're not there yet. We're in chapter 19. But we're the dreamer of the dream, and now we see ourselves as yet another figure in our own dream. The other people in your life, they're figures. The people who've died in your life, they're figures. The people, so are you. You're highly, highly addicted, drunk, completely invested in this train ride of being in a body in time and space. That's the default. If you do nothing else, you will find yourself, wake up tomorrow morning, in the same position, flying down the track on the same train. So, what I love about A Course in Miracles is that it's nothing if it's not practical. Practical spirituality. I mean, what would it be like to wake up from a dream? What's it like to wake up from a dream? I'm telling you, you're dreaming. The book telling you, you're dreaming. Other spiritual pursuits have said, after many, many years of lots of writing, the gurus say, it's like dreaming. That's what it's like. So let's just think about that for a few minutes before we dig into tonight's paragraph.
What's the word? I lost it.
Dreaming.
Oh, dreaming.
And what's it like to awake from dreaming?
Thanks.
You're welcome. Thanks for clarifying. What is it like? Think about this now. What happens when you awake from a dream? First, you have to recognize you're dreaming. Know what you awoken from. What happens in order for you to awake from a dream? What is a dream? Think about that for a little while. To what is the dream happening? Where does a dream happen? Now, what must happen, what must occur in this scenario for you to wake up from a dream? You were in the situation, in the dream, and then you weren't. What happened? So now just finally, for the last few minutes, just pick an aspect, pick something, a word or a phrase that describes what has to happen for you to wake up from that dream. Pick an aspect of what happens, what changes. And you, can you really go back to dreaming the same dream? What changes when you wake up? And then you can't go back. Something happened. You're so busy dreaming. And then you can't go back. Something happened. What happened, David?
Well, one of the things that always happens when I wake up with dreams, you go, well, that was crazy.
Yeah. Right?
Maybe 1 out of 20 you might, oh, that was a cool dream. I'm going to go back and do that again. It doesn't work. Yeah. Once you wake up and realize it didn't happen, it's almost impossible to go back.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, you can't really go back.
Something happened. Your perspective changed. Yeah. You were so busy doing it.
Yeah.
It was everything. And then it wasn't.
Yeah, that, well, all of a sudden you realize, oh, that wasn't real.
And
that made it.
The first thing you said is, yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah.
And it's just good.
Huh? Yeah, sometimes they're great, right?
No, definitely.
Still can't go back because it was crazy.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Because you realize it wasn't real.
Very good. Very good. Mm-hmm. Bridget, when something happens when you wake up from a dream, what changed?
I think. It tends to be an urgency to wake up, like crawling out of a dark hole. It's like, I gotta get out of here. I gotta wake up. I gotta pee.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, it's a body thing.
Yes, yes.
But it's kind of like a chopped up movie. You know, nothing makes any sense. I'm trying to make sense of it in the dream. It's
yes.
Like, it's not making any sense. I gotta get out of here. This is stupid. You know,
there's an urgency. I love that. There wasn't an urgency. There was busy dealing with whatever crazy scenario was happening. But then something changed to where there was a feeling. Some kind of a feeling, let's call it. A spirit of, I gotta get out of here.
Nothing making sense. Nothing made sense.
And then something to be thankful for is you somehow know you can get out of there. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. Nice. Carol, what happens when you wake up from a dream?
Well, it's just like being jolted out of another reality or another, and often just like, wow. It wasn't real after all.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, a reality, seriously a reality, meaning that there was input and output and there was feedback and there was people and scenarios and emotional investment. A lot of the times there's emotion in your dream, in your mind.
Yeah, it just felt so real. And it's just shocking to find, you know, all of a sudden.
All of a sudden.
Yeah.
The disconnected from all that. All that input. Switch out of a reality which had you going, had you on the hook. Very good. Yeah, Sharon, what happens when you wake up from a dream?
The same thing. I just realized it's playtime for my subconscious. Mm. And that's it. That's all it is. Mm. Just chatters away.
Chattering away. In your subconscious, goofing around, and then something happens, and then you're not dreaming.
Yeah.
You're awake.
I'm with Bridget. Sometimes, like, if you're dreaming something that's really weird, you're like, ugh. And then you really fight to get out of it.
You start to catch up with the weirdness somehow.
Yeah.
You start to see it.
Yeah, which is, I don't know if you're just waking up and then you catch it, or you,
uh-huh.
I don't know what it is. I don't know.
Uh-huh.
But you do, you want out.
Yeah, and you're like, this is not good enough for me.
It's just weird.
I'm out. I'm out.
Yeah.
Good.
So
good. Yeah. Kenny, what happens when you wake up from a dream?
Sometimes that it gives me an answer to something that was happening in the outside world.
Uh-huh.
Because, that's sure. A good answer.
Yeah. And so it's done.
Yeah.
The answer right. Is arrived. There's no more to think about because the answer's there. Let's go out in the barn and try it.
Yeah. Yeah.
See if it works.
I don't have to ruminate on it again anymore.
Yeah. So there's a sense of satisfaction, completion.
Yeah.
That's done. That's done. It's done. Yeah, that happens. Julie, what happens when you wake up from a dream? Everybody, what is a dream? Julie, what's a dream? What is it?
Images playing in your mind.
Images playing in your mind.
Synapses firing or neurons firing.
Yep, just random firings in your brain tries to make sense of it.
It's just not true.
It's an illusion.
Yeah, illusion.
Illusion.
But it feels really real.
Feels real.
Mm-hmm.
Feels real! It's got you. It's got you right by your heart. Right by your mind. Very personal. Gotcha.
Sometimes, good or bad, it lingers. The chemical reaction lingers after waking up.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
That happens too. Yeah, I've had some dreams that freaky thing happened, and it's just, I saw it. And I was there. And I remember it, but it's a little
chill back of my spine when I think about what happened. Still, been years.
But I think the metaphor is really powerful because one of the questions you ask is almost like, how do you, what happens to take you out? And
yes.
I think, kind of weird answers, but, you know, I was thinking like, how do I wake up in a dream, not in like enlightenment? And then metaphor to enlightenment, but it was, one is rarely, but sometimes I become lucid, so I'm aware and I choose to come out, or I change the situation. That's not very common. So the other ways are either my body is done, it's rested and it's done, so I wake up, or I'm so afraid or whatever that I snap out. So, but what I thought about that, relating it to enlightenment, is that, like, you kind of, at least the last two, the body being rested or the fear being so high, it's like you kind of reach a point where it's like, it's just enough, right? Like you want, you're just ready for something different. You're ready to come out. So I think of that as like when we go through our struggles, like there must be a better way, right? Yeah.
I've heard that before.
Yeah, sometimes a dream circle on itself. And you've had enough. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very good.
Or the alarm goes off.
Huh?
Or the alarm just goes off.
Yeah, right. Which is another thing that you still have to come out of the dream, even if the alarm went off.
Mm-hmm.
Alarms go off.
Mm-hmm.
I've had Course in Miracles sound like a freaking alarm in my life. It's blaring. Oh my God, I'm dreaming and I gotta stop because this is true. It's time to get up, and this won't stop. This alarm went off of me and it will not go off till I get up and push the button. I have to get up with my mind and acknowledge and push the button. The truth is true. And take a breath of peace and laugh. That's how you turn the alarm off. The little laugh happens. You go, oh my God, the ego thinks it's all that. And in the present moment, where is it? Where is the ego in the present moment? The present minute.
It doesn't exist.
That should bust your whole reality of everything you know in this world to be true. It does not exist in the present moment. I mean the present instant. I mean between the seconds, which is where you wake up. You don't wake up in the future.
Mm.
You don't wake up in the past. Robert, what something happens when you wake up from a dream?
I don't know. I just kind of ponder on what I just dreamt about. It's usually stuff that's been going on in my life with work or...
Mm-hmm. Some scenario.
Relationship. Sometimes I get like work mixed with something from the past and it's in the same thing. And I'm just like, wow, I wonder why it was those two things... came together.
Yeah.
A lot of times for me, they just don't make any sense.
Doesn't make any sense. You can recognize the pieces.
Mm-hmm.
This from your past, this from your work. You can kind of recognize the pieces. So you know you were dreaming. It was you. It was your life. It wasn't Kenny's dream. It's your dream. Obviously, it's very personal. But now you're looking at it. So something happened. You're no longer in it. What shifted?
I can never make sense of them.
But now you can look at it.
I'm not like Kenny where I say, oh, I got an answer. You know, I just...
Right, yeah.
I very rarely even dream.
Uh-huh.
I don't know why. I just...
Yeah. It's good, though, that the... But you can... Something happens in that you can now objectively look at the pieces that don't belong together and say, well, that's a dream.
Yeah.
Because this work situation with that person who died 6 years ago is ridiculous. I can feel what it's like to have Grandma over my shoulder on the bus saying, now don't you ride the line, if that was the dream. Grandma's dead. She can't be on the bus. That's ridiculous.
I also read somewhere, and it's happened to me two or three times in my lifetime, that you cannot die in your dream.
Uh-huh.
And I've come really close, and then I've actually got up screaming.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
Like this one time, somebody, I think, stabbed me a bunch of times and then threw me in a fire, and I was like looking at myself burning, and I was turning into this skeleton, and that's when I started screaming. I got up, and I'm like...
Yeah.
Wow. That doesn't happen often.
Pretty dramatic, but then something changed so that you were no longer the one who was burning.
Yeah, it was weird. I was just watching
myself.
You
were burning! And were you to stay on that, you would suffer more. And they run these equipment on people's minds that when they're dreaming. And they set them up, so they do it with meditators as well. And they have them meditate on a scenario. Or have them dream and talk about the dream. Then have them go out and actually do the thing they were dreaming about as best they can. It's the same brain! The same thing's fire. So you've had a very similar experience of being on fire. Your brain actually singeing flesh and high, all that stuff.
Nothing like that. Or
but
even close.
You screamed for some kind of a uncomfortable situation. And I think you said you were on fire.
A fire.
Yeah. So that's uncomfortable. And then you weren't. And then suddenly you weren't. Mark, what happens when you wake up from a dream?
Okay, so waking up from a dream when I'm awake. So I have no neutral thoughts. So if your thoughts aren't neutral, then you're always dreaming. So how do you wake up from that?
Yes.
You have to recognize that the thoughts aren't neutral, and then you can, and then you have a shot at seeing things the way they are, thinking things not adding a slant to everything that you think, not thinking that your thoughts are are true, because if your thoughts aren't neutral,
yes,
then what you're doing is you're basing everything off of fear or love.
Uh-huh.
Most of the time, fear.
Uh-huh.
So you're creating a scenario constantly.
Uh-huh.
Constantly evolving scenario. Everything that you see, everything that you think is a part of that scenario.
Yes.
So that's the dream.
Yep. Storytelling.
Yeah. But in doing the workbook lessons, it's kind of like, and I can only do this while I'm doing the lesson. It's kind of like, suddenly, for a moment, I'm looking at something and I just have this feeling like there's nothing there.
That's huge, Mark.
It's nothing.
That's huge, Mark.
So, I have an art object on my desk, and I first see it and I think, oh, I really like that. And then suddenly I realize it's just some plastic. It's not even plastic, it's just a thing sitting there. It's nothing. It's like, it has no meaning at all.
The more you look at it, the less you see on that path.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
With the ego, the more you look at it, the more you see. So that's everything versus nothing. The perennial argument of understanding is in your hands.
Yeah.
In those early workbook lessons.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter which way you go, each leads to the same truth. But oh my God, what freedom is, what simplicity is that? To come to nothing. To stop storytelling, to stop your mind from putting a story in a judgment or a flavor or a meaning.
Mm-hmm.
On a piece of plastic.
Mm-hmm.
That's huge, especially how you felt.
And it reveals that almost everything that we think and see is based on the past. Some something that happened, something that we remember, something that we feel about something else, but it's not about what's actually happening now. It's not about what's actually in front of you.
Yes.
It's in response to what's in your head.
Yes.
What you're thinking.
Yes.
What you're thinking about that.
Yes, the storytelling.
So that's the dream.
The dreaming. What you're dreaming about that, fantasizing about that, or worrying about that.
Right.
Take your flavor. It's required your thoughts to lay these layers on it. Very good.
Yeah.
But in the present moment, that's number six.
I think I'm pretty sure, because I've caught myself, like when you're actually dreaming asleep,
yes,
you're doing the same thing.
Yes.
You're actually basing your dreams off of stuff that's happened to you based on the past.
Yes.
So the dream is an actual, it is just more, you know, fanciful or something.
Yes.
Or more of a, I don't know what.
Yeah. How did you feel when you got into that rare moment when you're doing the lesson and you go, oh my God, it's absolutely nothing?
How do I feel?
Yeah.
I don't feel anything.
Huh.
Yeah, I don't, there's like a sense of, you know, that it's the a sense of, I think, neutrality.
Neutrality
is the best explanation.
Anybody else who's been there, throw in some words here too to help Mark understand what he is describing too. Sense of neutrality. For me, it's a sense of spaciousness, a sense of simplicity, a sense of it's like I'm actually seeing for the first time this object or what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
There's, I can see all of the storytelling and lies for what they are. And I could just set them all aside in that moment. There's nothing.
It's kind of, it's also disturbing too to recognize that you're constantly interpreting everything.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, it's not a pretty thing.
Yeah.
And one of the other lessons where it talks about you're upset because you're upset because you see a meaningless world.
Yes.
So
you see something that is
and
not
I
there.
Realize that, you know, I do that. I mean, a lot of my impulses is based on a sense that there is nothing.
Yes.
So you feel like, oh shit, I gotta do something.
Yes.
I gotta do something about that.
Yes.
And it's just kind of an existential
watch yourself now. That's right. That's a habit from a layer is talking, saying, I gotta do something.
Yeah.
I gotta be excited,
right.
Be a witness, whatever it is.
Yeah.
That's a layer.
Mm-hmm.
That's being exposed.
Yeah.
That also is a story.
That's a story. Yeah, that's another non-neutral thought.
Now, before Course in Miracles, before your spiritual work, you can't see that layer.
No.
All you see is the circumstances requiring response. Either it's self-esteem or pride, or it's duty, responsibility, guilt.
Well, you think that your thoughts are guiding you somehow.
Uh-huh.
Your thoughts are true, and that you need to pay attention to them because it's telling you something, when in fact they're not telling you anything.
Yeah. And that they are what you are.
Yeah.
They're building what you are. Before
right.
Course in Miracles, all of that makes a whole lot of sense. Those first couple of workbook lessons, though, strip away the power of the stories you've been telling yourself.
Yeah.
Really quickly.
Yeah.
Well, it's still, I would argue that it still makes sense from the as you awaken as well, but because your next thought is how you feel in this body in this moment, but yes. That as you catch, like, I even wrote here, you know, it doesn't make sense, like, everybody said that about dreams, like, it just doesn't add up, but
yeah.
That's equally our thoughts in the world, right? But it's only as you start to catch that,
yeah.
That you then can change your thought.
Because before, it needed to add up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
and
why we kept juggling mm-hmm. the strange pieces that don't belong together before you woke up. You were trying to make sense of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it got too uncomfortable and you bailed on it. But you were trying. Before. You have this perspective that you're describing, which is, by the way, can never be taken away from you. You know, children grow, you grow. And your awareness comes, and there's an investment made by you, for you, that this perspective of being a witness in this case, you never go back from that. You never go back to full victimhood again. That's good news.
You kind of have to trust that this book, that these lessons are telling you something. You know, you can't like question and say, well, I'm not sure if I agree with that.
Yeah.
Because that won't work. You have to kind of trust that it's going
to
work.
You have to sit in that moment you described.
Yeah.
Where just a freaky thing happens, and you're looking at something that means a lot to you for a long, many, many years, and suddenly it's nothing.
Mm-hmm.
It's the experience of it.
It's the experience. Mm-hmm. That experience in that moment is a rare air that we can breathe even here.
Well, the lesson has you, the lessons have you, at least the first ones that I've been doing, has you glance around really quickly.
Yes.
And that's to interrupt your thinking pattern.
Yes.
It's to stop your thoughts, because if you switch from one thing to the other and repeat that thing over again, you're not going to have time to start to use your mind to interpret what it is that you're looking at.
And make one special
one. For a second,
yes.
You catch yourself not thinking anything, and that's the key.
Yes. Yes. Very good. It's so clever.
Yeah.
It's so clever, those workbook, how they work your mind.
Yeah.
And it tells you just generically move from one, like, regard, see the object, but then say the sentence of the day and go to the next object. Mm-hmm. That's your job.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's brilliant.
It's brilliant. It's so practical. And it is such a radical way to get away from your addictive thinking. To be able to look at the drink and not take it. That's good. To look at the thoughts and the objects, and it has to go through thoughts in your mind as well, and people and stuff, and not follow your addiction about it and judge. And yet you can still think about it. It's huge. Going all the way to seeing your preoccupation with the past, and that you see nothing as it is now. And after you do the first lesson, seriously, that phrase busts the ego. It's really welcome, that spacious simplicity, for me, because it sets you up dramatically on how you're lying to yourself, how important this is and that is. You're lying to yourself. You get all worked up over it. You're not upset for the reason you think. I mean, when you really arrive on that, you have to admit that neither is the other person. They're upset, but they're not for the reason they think, so why should you worry so much about what they say?
Or be upset at them.
Or be upset. Even if they say it was you. Oh my God, it really busts the ego. Good, good, good. Yes, yes. The awakening happens like that. With a sense of simplicity and an acknowledgement of a lack of truth. Yeah. Well, what happens when you wake up from a dream?
The last memorable dream I had, I woke up, I was a boxer, and the gloves were in front of my face, and I was just being pummeled, and I had to get out of there. I was screaming to get out, and thinking, I'll never do that again. But it was so real. I almost jumped out, I almost physically jumped out of bed. It was that, and my heart was just boom, boom, boom. I woke up, but I was still with it. You know, I was still with it.
Yes.
It wasn't with me, I was with it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
But then, you know, like even in this room, I can be here and be present maybe for 10 seconds, you know, in 2 hours.
Yeah.
I'm always dreaming.
Yes.
I always dream. My favorite thing to do is take a conversation or some situation that I experienced prior and just get into that conversation and say something different to make a new ending to the encounter. And I can get, eyes open, eyes closed. It doesn't matter.
Yes.
Eyes open.
Yes.
I'm doing it.
Yes.
I can read that book and do the same thing.
Yes.
I can spend 2 hours on one page of that book and be present for maybe 2 seconds.
Yes.
I'm constantly.
Yes.
I know there's you know there's something going on all the time.
Yes. Yes. It really shows the pattern of thought in an ego. Mm-hmm. And it ego's comfortable with a future and with a past. Constantly jumping ahead or wallowing behind. Very busy doing that. Mm-hmm. Very busy making sense. You know, I learned in school that dreaming is, or when you close your, if you close your eyes, you see little itty bitty bitty specks of light. You ever notice that? It's not actually perfectly black. That's because you have neurons. You have these in the back of your eyes, these sensors, and they're like neurons, or they're like brain tissue, and they have electrical impulses randomly firing as a potential. There's no light coming in, but there's potential for light all the time. So it sees these little specks occur. Same when you're dreaming, is these neurons randomly fire because there's electrical potential in your brain all the time. And what I learned in school is that things happen, and then your brain sorts through the possibilities and tries to make a picture of a bus or whatever it is, or a boxer and gloves. Well, if there's one glove, there should be two. The brain just runs with it and tries to make sense of what it's saying. So that's why there's so much nonsense can happen.
My eyes have been closed. I've seen faces of people who I have never seen with my eyes open.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, yes, yes. We get so worked up over these boxing gloves and people and things. So worked up over it. And then we wake up. Something changed. There was a way out. And somehow you took it. It's kind of like the alarm going off or the dream of being on fire. You can't take any more. Mm-hmm. And you're glad to be done. Mm-hmm. Mary, what happens when you wake up?
Well, I have a dream about every night.
Okay.
And it would seem the purpose of the dream is to wake me up and warn me, wake up. And frequently something doesn't feel safe. Mm-hmm. And it takes all kinds of forms. Sometimes I think there's somebody in my house. Mm-hmm. And I get out of bed and I look around, there's nobody there. Mm-hmm. No, it was a dream. Mm-hmm. One time I had this very sweet dream. I dreamed that I was in bed asleep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And this little girl, about 5 years old, in a nightgown, mm-hmm. is walking up to me and she says, can I sleep with you? Mm-hmm. And I realized, oh, that little girl is me looking for a safe place to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
In
mm-hmm.
her big, strong adult here.
Uh-huh. And you woke up.
Yeah.
Because and looked around, she wasn't there, or the person in your house wasn't there, so it did not pass the test of truth. That's when you really woke up from the dream. You got out of bed and went and checked for that person was in the house. In the first scenario, maybe the second one too. And it failed the test of truth for you. So that was a dream. I was really a dream. I checked, the doors are all still locked, nobody came in. Then you breathe and go, good morning. Maybe not quite ready to say good morning and go get the coffee going until you check.
I mean, we're talking, it's 12:30 a.m., you know. It's not time for
Right. But still, there would have to be a test of proof before you really let it go.
Well, that's why I guess I think, you know, somewhere in me thinks it's not safe to be asleep then. Mm-hmm. Because what happens in every dream is I wake up. Yes. I don't ever have a dream and then, you know, not wake up.
Okay. All right. But still,
kind of.
The wake up is what we're focusing on. There's a release of the dream scenario, a release of the story you're telling yourself, a release of what you were visualizing, partially because it no longer passed the test of truth and it was no longer worthy of you following. You're bigger than it. You're not a victim anymore. You were kind of a victim before. You were loosely thinking of something, a scenario, and then you got You let it go because it didn't pass a test of truth. Zoe, what happens when you wake up? For a dream. What has to
sometimes
happen?
Sometimes I'm happy, sometimes I'm not.
Yeah, what changed?
Well, depending on the content of the dream, you know, it affects my mood when I wake up. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I can't recall what I dreamed, and I'm just kind of in a weird kind of space. Okay.
But what's different about being awake in that weird space than dreaming? How do you know that you're starting to wake up?
I can feel myself coming to.
Uh-huh.
Kind of like 1 minute I'm asleep and the next minute I'm not.
Uh-huh. So the qualities of being awake come in and they overwhelm the idea that you were sleeping. Awareness has occurred.
Right.
So awareness has occurred that the dream's no longer valid and cannot be pursued. It would be a lie. You're coming to. Reality setting in. John, what happens with you? How do you know? You wake up from a dream. What happens?
Well, it's gradually exchanging one mode of awareness for another.
Yes.
Until one becomes dominant, and that's your reality.
Okay, that's really simple. That's really straightforward. One becomes some other scenario.
It works both ways, like when you're falling asleep.
Yes.
And you start, and you're taking as reality some strange, whatever it might be, scenario.
Yes.
That your mind is concocted as a way of expressing your, especially a healthy way of expressing your mental condition.
It's kind of like getting on a train when you fall asleep. And the doors close and off you go.
And it just seems to usually it's gradual. It's something you have to handle. You know, and you just accept it. There's no problem with it, but sometimes you don't.
But it gets dominant, right?
A couple of times I was totally relieved that the facts of the dream weren't true.
Yeah, I mean, like several of these.
You thought I was going to do time or something.
Yeah. What happens? If they catch me? Oh, wait, they'll never catch me. I didn't relief. Do it. Yeah, no, that's good. Turn to page 584 in the text, paragraph 6. We'll just look at a couple of these before we...
Andrew, I just want to ask something.
Yeah.
I just realized something I hadn't thought about for a long time. When I was about 9 years old, I sleepwalked in a dream.
Yes.
Many blocks away from my house.
Yes.
Into someone else's house.
Yeah.
Someone that I knew.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, I just wondered, because that was a dream.
Yeah.
And I was physically walking in the dream.
Yeah.
And I didn't wake up.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I just...
Yeah, yeah, it's semi-consciousness.
You should be locked up.
I know.
Yeah.
It's
just chained to the bed.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, that's just one of the possibilities in this world of bodies, is you can be semi-conscious, and there's a whole area of psychology that deals with people who can do that. Mm. Sleepwalk. Some people sleep drive. I mean, you can get up and do a lot of things. You're something like
most people.
Yeah.
Most people are out there dreaming away.
People are out there dreaming anyway.
Yeah, unconscious behind the wheel.
Yeah, so there's a continuum of dead asleep and then dead awake and somewhere. Now,
so what's the difference between this and that reality?
That's right.
Nothing.
Yeah. Can you say you really woke up? Yeah, that's why the experience that you had is so...
I can't say that, because what's the difference... I mean, what's your test of truth? What's different about encounter with another person and the next day sort of the same thing with a different ending? Which one's true? Which...
hey, after a few years... you look back at any memory you've had in your life, and you know there's a little bit of fill in, the gaps are filled in, and it's just a dream about what happened.
In fact, you can even, there's research on that, that you don't remember properly, so you fill in the gaps and you actually rewrite the memory.
Mm-hmm. Every time you tell a story. Every time you think of it, you rewrite the memory. Not another memory. The memory in your brain gets rewritten by you thinking about it again. That's why they tell about the, you know, I caught a fish, it was about this big. And the next time you sell somebody, well, actually, it barely fit in the fishing box, so it was really about this big. And you're actually rewriting the same exact place in your mind, remember seeing the fish. So you're rewriting the past, it's true.
Because your mind's the source.
Yes, thank you very much.
Quantum physics.
Very good.
Your mind's the source. You can change anything.
Your mind is the source. Cause and effect are not separated at any time. The past does not come from the past. The past is in the present. Rewritten every time you think about it.
In the present.
In the present. Yes.
Well, don't our eyes see things and we make those adjustments as well to make sense of them?
That's right.
So that's
another, that's right, you're busting it even further.
Trust your eyes on seeing things and still put, fill in all those blanks and make sense of it.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But in the dream, we don't have our eyes.
Yep, so it's whatever
that's
you
really
want.
Crazy.
No limit, you don't have to have an eye limit thing. Yeah, it's true. No, that's crazy. Look at page 584 and look at...
here.
584 in the text.
There's just so much in this section.
There's so much right here. I know. We
just read the entire section.
I know. It's so good.
Let's see. How about if we read the entire book?
We should just read the book. Okay, you know what? We're going to skip.
Not going to 584.
I think
we're just found it.
Yeah, I know, and it's got, you can see how it's got, but that's not really, we're not here to discuss that much of.
What if we just search for different sections and then search for another section?
Let's all do our own section.
Yeah. Well, instead, skip ahead. This is crazy stuff, but it's not for tonight's focus. So just skip to 594 and paragraph 7. And we'll just kind of read a punchline. 594, paragraph 7. David, just read that first sentence.
The miracle establishes your dream. You dream a dream, and that its content is not true.
Okay, so that's a summary of all sorts of support that you would get. When we get here, we'll spend a lot of time on this. But the bottom line is, that's what the miracle is, this gift to you, to show you that you are dreaming a dream and its content is not true. No matter how real it felt, the job of the miracle is to unhook you from that being reality. Very important in our work. Because you can't do the next step in freeing your mind if you don't unhook this dreamed up reality that you've been punishing yourself with. You can't do the forgiveness part. You can't have the release if that person really can harm you, for example. If they have the power to harm you, why would you forgive them? You should go sack them. Or run from them. Or take a drug. Because they can just hurt you more and more, right? Give them the drug. If that's true. No, you need a miracle. Shift in perception about what's really going on. To catch your mind punishing your mind. As Walt says, wait a minute, it's in my mind. That's where it comes from. Oh, it's such good news to have the simplicity splayed open, to see the emptiness, even just for a moment, and say, wow, there's nothing going on. Something going on. Just to take an easy breath for a second, show you how free you really are. It's very important. You won't get off this train until you do. The miracle establishes that you dream a dream. This content is not true. Let's look at a few more of these before we move on. Look at 101, paragraph 6. These are my favorites on dreams. We'll just look at a couple of them. So you can see that this is not a theme that gets dropped in this book. It's get used again and again because it's so descriptive of what is going on in your whole life. That you've been worried about. That you've been so serious about. What made that argument so serious? Like you had to get your point across. What made that? Okay, Bridget, would you read for us? I guess to start with 5. Let's see, we'll do 5 and 6. Read, start with paragraph 5 for us on 101 in the text.
The ego uses the body to conspire against your mind, and because the ego realizes that its enemy can end them both merely by recognizing they are not part of you.
That's your mind. Has that power. That's right.
They join in the attack together. This is perhaps the strangest perception of all. If you consider what it really involves, the ego, which is not real, attempts to persuade the mind, which is real, that the mind is the ego's learning device, and further, that the body is more real than the mind is. No one in his right mind could possibly believe this, and no one in his right mind does believe it.
And this is how you know you're reading A Course in Miracles. When a paragraph like that comes out. But don't you feel like you're sort of onto something here? When you read the paragraph like that? It's unraveling what seems to be so real and fails so many times to be real throughout all the years. God, what really is going on? You kind of, I feel that when I read a paragraph like that. Carol, read for us paragraph 6.
Here then, one answer of the Holy Spirit in to all the questions the ego raises. You are a child of God, a priceless part of His kingdom, which He created as part of Him. Nothing else exists, and only this is real. You have chosen a sleep in which you have had bad dreams, but the sleep is not real, and God calls you to awake.
And that's good enough right there. That's the meat of the paragraph.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. That's what happened. That's what's going on. In a very pithy, short couple of sentences. You, a child of God. Child of God means you came from God. You got the power of God. As being from God, you must have some of that juice. This book says you got all of it. Child of God. And what you did is, in your fanciful use of all your power, is first thing you did is you made a sleep with all your power. You made a sleep. Once you got that going, inside the sleep, you made dreams. These fantastical scenarios. And then, you end up having some nightmares. In the dreams that you're having, in the sleep that you made, with all your power as a child of God.
Otherwise known as our life.
Otherwise known as your life.
And the prison we put ourselves in.
And the world. Time, space, the whole thing. And it's become very serious. You forgot to laugh. because you've been so busy trying to make it feel real. It's just something you're playing with your mind. Now, whatever God is, we don't have to deal on that right now. But the nightmares and the dreaming is not real. Not true. And the part of you that is God is calling you to awake because of the absurdity that we've heard people describe all the way around the room. Part of you says, nah, not having any more of this. This is you being called to awake.
If you could sit there and with another person, and I did this in a course once, where you tell the story of your life to that person for like half an hour, 45 minutes. Everybody in the room was doing it, right? You do it for half an hour, and then you switch to the other person. By the end of it, everybody's laughing. You know, because you realize that it fits this whole thing that you constructed. We're all doing that.
Yeah, especially as you get near the end of the 45 minutes, you have to do some kind of summary. And then, well, here I am. Divorced, tired, no job. You know, you gotta laugh at that.
Right.
Okay. What's that?
Is that clock right?
Yes. Okay. Thank you for that rehearsal. Clock is right. Okay, so let's get off of this and jump into tonight's reading, page 433 in the text. Page 433. How do you get off this train? Okay, you've got a dream going on with your stressful relationship, or, you know, the scenario in your life, in your world. Here you are, however old you are, so whatever situation you have going on. You're totally drunk on that scenario. And what are some of the ways that we can get out of that dream? What are some ways we can wake up from still being following this crazy scenario? This is one of the ways the Course in Miracles tells us, is that we would look at a very personal aspect of the dream that's got all your attention. Look at a person in the dream that's got all of your attention from time to time. Let's apply the miracle there. That's what it means by entering the ark two by two.
Oh.
You don't go one on your own, leaving behind the problem just so that it can fester. What is... So Sharon, would you read for us on 432, the opposing page, sentence 1?
Actually, can I pass?
Yes, Kenny. Can you read for us just sentence 1 on page 432 in the text?
Which paragraph?
Paragraph 1, sentence 1. Take your time. Just the first sentence.
No pressure.
No pressure.
Not tonight. Tonight, Kim.
We could stop it. Nothing can hurt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You, unless you give it the power to do so.
Period. End of sentence. End of teaching.
That's the only sentence that I want. The rest of it takes me horrible trying to figure out all these words.
Yeah. All the rest of the words are just trying to catch the parts of your mind that are denying that. But if you're comfortable with that, you can just stop, close the book and breathe and go into a little meditation to accept how true it is. Like with Mark. You do those early Brookbook lessons, and you get that moment where you're staring at something that's meant something to you, it's gone with you every time you moved, that thing went with you, and now you're doing your Brookbook lessons on it, and it disappears. You might just take a moment to sit in that space and say, well, how is that possible? All the meaning went away from it.
So I had that moment, because I'm going, I don't want to read one of these paragraph.
Okay.
I don't want to read a paragraph.
All right.
And when the gift came,
yeah,
you know, it was so funny to me.
That's funny.
For the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's the most important sentence in the whole section.
You're talking about the spirit can't be damaged, right? Because your body can.
Yes.
But your spirits, no matter what horrible end you come to, your spirit will be intact, period. End of sentence. Yes.
Yep, that's
what you're
correct.
Saying. Okay.
Absolutely correct.
Okay.
There are two identities, not three or four or ten. One is material, one is spiritual. Look at Miracle Principle 12 real quick. Just as you're right in front of the book on page 3, at the bottom of the page, it makes this distinction. Right in the front of the book. It says, well, you know, here's what we're working with. Julie, when you're ready, would you read for us Miracle Principle 12?
Miracles are thoughts. Thoughts can represent the lower or bodily level of experience or the higher or spiritual level of experience. One makes the physical and the other creates the spiritual.
If something's physical, how long will it last? Relative, it's recycled from something else that was physical, so it's going to be recycled again into something else. I don't care what it is. Yeah. Spiritual? How long does spiritual last? I don't know. Could be forever. But a thought. Does a thought ever really go away? Does it ever really show up? It's so different than the physical. So it makes a distinction here between physical and spiritual. And this is a spiritual endeavor. So we can wake up to the spiritual being real and dominant over the physical. If it's true, then it lasts forever, says lesson 133. Just the test of truth, right? What's valuable? It says, well, the first test for something that's valuable is it lasts forever. I can take that. What here on earth lasts forever? Just name one thing on earth. Not even the earth lasts forever. So, pretty short list. Oh, boy. I told you this is radical spirituality. But yeah, we're talking about a spiritual identity to be woken up as you. Absolutely. That's the big picture. Very good. Okay. All right. So, now, back to page 433. And the focus here is what is a practical thing we can do to wake up from the dream of suffering around this special person in your life that's caused you so much pain. So much pain. Not right. Not there. That person. It turns out, there's lots of other things we could talk about. We could talk about your career. We could talk about your health. We could all pool together all the opinions of what the healthiest protein is that you can get in Santa Cruz. I mean, you know, is it the purified pea protein? Is that the one? No, it's the whey protein, because you can get it because it's non-GMO over at Shopper's Corner. Is that the one? We could talk about that, right? It would all have some level of value, because everybody here has to eat protein. Even if you're vegetarian, you still got to find protein. That's not what we're talking about. Not what we're talking about. We're talking about waking up from the misery that is going to happen to you next week. And you don't even know what it is, but I predict if you're in the body, there'll be something miserable.
Thanks.
The shoelace will... What?
Thanks.
Yeah. Yeah. There'll be a shoelace that breaks, or a car that won't start, or you missed a meet. Something will happen. And then you can suffer if you're still giving it the ability to affect your happiness. If you are going to dream a dream whose content is true next week, it's going to hurt. Guaranteed. The miracle establishes you dream a dream, okay? That's content is not true. So you'll go through your difficulty, but you'll be missing one very wonderful feature. Will be missing. Fear. Fear will be missing from your dream, even as you dream it next week. guilt will be missing. You don't need to put the guilt out there, and you don't have to take it in here. Those are huge differences. You, as you live a life in time and space in a body with the Holy Spirit, with right mind awoken, fear will be missing and guilt will be missing. Everything else will stay exactly the same.
Yeah, that's kind of the cool part.
Yes, I agree. It's Jason.
When
remember Jason?
You see that you're not attached to the crap.
We did a big meditation one. Remember Jason? He used to sleep through most of the meetings. Mm-hmm. But once we did this question on what would it be like, you know, and if you no longer had fear. You just didn't have it anywhere, anytime. It wasn't something you could experience. And then we went around the room, and Jason woke up, and he said, and he was suicidal many times. No, I don't think he minds me telling you that. And he really did the meditation. He said, well, if my life with no fear, it could be fun. That was his answer. Mm-hmm. It could be fun. Now. All right, so now, Robert, you ready?
Sure.
Would you read for us paragraph 7 on 433?
This is the purpose given you. Think not that your forgiveness of your brother serves but you two alone. For the whole new world rests in the hands of every two who enter here to rest. And as they rest, the face of Christ shines on them, and they only have...
Whoops.
Only the face of Christ shines on them, and they remember the laws of God. Forgetting all the rest and yearning only to have his laws perfectly fulfilled in them and all their brothers. Think you when this has been achieved that you will rest without them? You could no more leave one of them outside than I could leave you and forget part of myself.
Okay. So this is a purpose given you, and that is forgiveness of the brother, that you would understand that you would enter the arc of peace and happiness with whatever you think your brother is. The reality of your brother and the reality of you are the same. What your brother does in the dream has nothing to do with his spirit. Neither do you and yours. So it's part of your awakening to see past the behavior in the dream. The miracle establishes that you dream a dream about this assholy one in your life that's causing you so much pain. But its content is not true. So you can just look right through it. And in fact, it might be fun if you did.
Overlook it.
Thank you.
That's cool. It works.
It really works.
It just put things in a perspective.
You can breathe easy.
Yeah. It's just like I'm tripping on somebody in my life.
Yeah.
And I said, well, just apply the Course principles. Just overlook it.
Uh-huh.
And just overlook it and see the beauty in the person.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty soon I'm cool. You know, I'm not having an issue.
That's why, or the workbook lesson. Yeah. And I remember I've said for the reason I think I can overlook what that person thinks the problem is.
Yeah, and it was like part of it, at least part of it, was how I was thinking about the situation, which is not necessarily right. And that's about as far as I'm going to go.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You can take some of the pressure off with just a thought.
Mm.
That would be a shift in perception if you're willing to see that you don't have to pursue those thoughts and solve the problem with a clever word or phrase or something. Just back off. That's a miracle. That you can back off is a miracle. It's a shift in perception about what is real. Not going to deal with it right now. That's a miracle. Because the ego says, deal with it yesterday. You're already late. And you're getting walked on. The more you let this go, the more of a weak doormat you are, says the ego.
And also, if nothing can hurt you unless you give it power to do so,
yes,
you can, you know, if someone's, so, you know, you at first you think someone's giving you trouble.
Yes.
You can not give that power.
Yes.
And not be afraid of whatever that is. And just, you know, so you think that I'm a jerk? Okay.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you can apply this to any problem. Any problem, you enter the ark with that problem.
Yes.
And, you know, hold it by the hand or whatever.
Yes.
And try and, you know, just be with it.
Yes. Be with it without fear and let go of the guilt too.
Yeah.
Still be there though.
Yes.
And then you'll see the unreality of it. That's what the essence of turn the other cheek is in the Bible. Walk the extra mile. It's just the essence that what you think is... Oh, and the Sufis say it this way. I love this one too. It says, take the bitter pill so that you know it's not more bitter than it is.
Mm.
Because you're thinking how it's going to be worse and terrible and horrible. You know what? Take the pill. It's not as bad. It's bad. It's bad. It's not bad as you think. Wake up by the experience, thank you very much, of actually eating the bitter pill. Take it. Bite it. If all of us had to eat a cricket, a live cricket, oh my God, a live one? Yeah, yeah, it's crawling, trying to get out of your mouth, and you're trying to put it in. No, I don't want to do that. How bad is it? It's terrible. It's terrible. But you know what? If your life depended on it, you just do it. Then it would be dead, and you'd go, should I finish it? Well, right? It's over.
Lots of protein there.
Hey!
Do you have any chocolate to dip it in?
Yeah! Give me a second one while you're at it. I'll eat Julie's.
Yeah, I'll have another one.
It's what your thoughts, only your thoughts could make that hurt you. Even the live cricket.
Well, yeah, and that makes sense. Take the bitter pill, because we talk about here needing to really face the fear of the problem one last time before the release. So you're not just like, oh, I don't see a problem, and like putting little blinders on, but that you actually will face it so that you can see the unreality, right?
Yes, that's why waking up from a dream. You look at it and go, this is crazy stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm out of here. I'm going to wake up. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. There's a shift in perception happens with the dream. Not real. You got work going on with something from the past going on at the same time. You're like, not real. Shift in perception occurred. Then forgiveness occurs. You look at that scenario, which now you know is unreal. The thing from the past and your current work, it's impossible they could be together. So what are you going to do? Release it. That's forgiveness. That's step two of the Course in Miracles triad. First was the miracle. You see it for what it is. You have to look at it. Step two is, because it's unreal, I'm not hanging on, I'm not dealing with it. I'm not hanging on to it. I thought I would hang on to it out of a habit, but I'm going to let it go. That's step two, just forgiveness. Step three is the holy instant, which is that breathing the rare air, the simplicity of the moment that says, I think I've got more truth in my life. I've stopped doing something that isn't worth doing. I feel good. I did a good step today. I saw the emptiness in something that's just a piece of plastic. It was never anything. It's not anything. It's made up. Literally in China, and then later in my mind, and I put it on my shelf. Ah! Yes, a little bit of freedom occurred, a little awakening occurred. That's the holy instant, that sense of freedom, that sense of acknowledgement that you've become lighter from a dark dream. Okay, now. Okay, here we go now. Paragraph 7. Think not that your forgiveness of your brother serves, you know, only you two alone. For the whole new world rests in the hands of every two who enter here to rest instead of fight. But to stop, to wake up, to stop fighting to stop working on this dream. And as they rest, the face of Christ shines on them, and they remember, key now, the laws of God. The laws of God in A Course in Miracles. Very simple, very practical. It's the law of mind, the law of spirit. It's as you give, you receive. That's how much you're going to get. It's how much you're going to give. Because of what you are in truth, nothing is given to you. But everything is available for you. You don't recognize this because you're in a body where you have to go to the store to get something to eat. Otherwise, you're going to starve. So that's your dream of separation, see? You're helpless here. You're helpless. But it's not true. That's the dream of a body. And it will suffer some unhappy, and then suffer happy, suffer, die. They all die. Only all of them. But that's not true. It's not what you really are. That's not your spiritual truth. Your spiritual truth is, this is the laws of God re-entering your mind. And you in that moment of spaciousness and simplicity, where anything can be decided next. You're no longer a victim to your past thoughts and judgment about that object. In those early workbook lessons, you can have these very free moments where you go, what next? And the answer is whatever you think is next. Mm-hmm. That's getting you back into the realm of the power that you've always had, and you do have, as an extension of God. Here you're a poor sap in a dream. And most of your value comes from what other saps in the dream think about you. But that sucks. And that's why we're all here. It's like, can we wake up from that? Because you know. You know joy is real. You know it. Okay, here we go. Next sentence. Great second part of the sentence. Okay, forgetting all the rest. All the rest of that crap that's made up. And yearning only to have God's laws perfectly fulfilled in them and all their brothers. If it's true for you, it's true for everybody in all aspects of mind. As you give, you receive. It's the good news. Think you, when this has been achieved, that you will rest without your brothers? The other aspects of mind that are somewhat entertaining for you? You will not leave behind any part of your mind, knowing that you have its freedom. Knowing that you have its freedom. Knowing that the suffering that you felt is not necessary anymore for anybody, anywhere. You know this. You know it by the laws of God. If you think happy, you get happy. If you think stillness, you do all your meditation, and you finally get to the point where you're going to choose to be still, and you are still, you did that. Not the meditation, nothing else. You have the answer on how to be still, finally. But it was nothing! It was an undoing. Now, somebody else says, I can't meditate, it's impossible. I can't ever get still. You're like, that's not true. Right? You know. Okay? Next sentence. You could no more leave one of them outside than I could leave you and forget part of myself, says the author, says Jesus. The part of your mind that's awoken back to the truth. I'm not going without you, he says. He says, I will not leave you comfortless. That's how this text ends. Same as the Bible. It says, I will not leave you comfortless. Because you're part of me. You're my heart. I will not leave my heart out. No way. Why would I do that? I won't do that. I'm not going to rush you. But we're going to the truth together. We will enter the ark together. Yeah. Key now. That's also, anybody, who's you here? Anybody here a big Buddhist fan? Say a lot of Buddhism? Anybody? Okay, good. All right. I won't go into that.
And
I know. This is a great principle.
Andrew, I have a quick interjection. This idea of This idea of going with your brother, because I Journey Beyond Words, which is written by the same author,
yes,
asked this question, like, if you know, can you imagine freeing your mind when you're about to die or whatever? And actually, I could. I've been in that situation of near death, and I came to total peace. So I was like, oh yeah, not a problem. And then, like, the next paragraph, it asks this question. It says, so often you will let your peace be disturbed by things less than dying. And it really caught me, because I have this, like, struggle with this person at work. And I just thought, yeah, why do I do, like, it's, if somehow I can have that peace about my own death, like,
yes, where it's all gone.
Why am I annoyed by something somebody said in a fleeting comment? It's, and yet I am.
And yet
right?
You are.
So, but anyway, that's.
And the answer is, you got your values on this stuff.
Mm-hmm. I'm working hard on that one.
Yeah.
I do not know over and over and over.
Yes. No. This is part of your addiction.
Mm-hmm.
Is that you keep taking the same drink, the same poison, over and over. And yet it's not even the highest value you can imagine. If you could let go of death, and you've actually come to peace with that, what's all this other stuff?
It's so silly.
Yeah, and it is your values that are held to be so important. Yeah, that's good. You got your hand right on it. Very good. Excellent. All right, we have just enough time. Who's at the bat?
You may wonder how you can be at peace when, while you are in time, there is so much that must be done before the way to peace is open. Perhaps this seems impossible to you, but ask yourself if it is possible that God would have a plan for your salvation that does not work. Once you accept his plan as the one function that you would fulfill, there will be nothing else the Holy Spirit will not arrange for you without your effort. He will go before you, making straight your path and leaving in your way no stones to trip on and no obstacles to bar your way. Nothing you need will be denied you. Not one seeming difficulty, but will melt away before you reach it. You need take thought for nothing, careless of everything except the only purpose that you would fulfill. Mm. As that was given you, so will its fulfillment be. God's guarantee will hold against all obstacles, for it rests on certainty and not contingency. It rests on you. And what can be more certain than a Son of God?
That brings it back home. Once you can turn your life away from these small dreaming of difficulties, the Course says it this way. It says, the way salvation works is you step back and the light in you steps forward. That's what this paragraph is talking about. You will allow the Holy Spirit that is in your mind to come forward as you put the unholy spirit, your ego, in the background. Let it go. Even for short times, you will feel the power of this. That's what then says, well, the Holy Spirit in you will straighten your path and remove the stones. Because the stones and the difficulty of your life in time and space are made up from your past thoughts that say how important this was and is. And this woman that's destroying your life, you told us about, wasn't even in your life 3 years ago. But now it's everything. Not really. It's because you think about it. Those stones would be removed. This assholy person in your life, with a miracle applied, a shift in perception about what's really going on, takes the teeth out of it, takes the heat out of it, takes the suffering out of it. And that will be true for the rest of your life. So long as you choose to live in a body and space and time, these things that would cause you difficulty are seen now with right perception instead of wrong perception. right mind instead of wrong mind. Enlightenment is when you now default, you prefer at least right-minded thinking, which is inclusive, versus wrong-minded thinking, ego, which is exclusive, conditional, something special and separate. With what we just read, entering the arc 2x2, you would now switch to your right mind with the Holy Spirit and start to include the part of that person, that ass holy one who's really a problem, you may never see them again because of it. Do not leave them behind. Find the part of them that you honestly share with them. It's there. Include, that's what love is, right? Love is inclusion. Include that part of them and let their ego horribleness go back to the fantasy that it always was, the nothingness that it was. But you take with you the essence of that person. Very important now. This is the way you get off this train of separation and of fighting and suffering. Yes, sir.
Can you elaborate on the essence of that person?
Yes. That's what we did last week. And in your case, this person, the only thing you could come up with that was the same of you is that they are a biological entity. That's all you were willing to give them. Everything else is different from you, and you wouldn't say what they said, you wouldn't do what they did, and you would never be what they are in their job in the way. You wouldn't, no way. Can't accept them, what they do, what they say. No. However, they get hungry, you get hungry. They have to sleep from time to time, and it's the most important thing. And so do you.
So, John's point was to overlook it.
Overlook the physical part and look for the spiritual part. They want happiness. They're going about it in a way that you would never do. It's lying. It's deceitful. It should be, they should maybe even put in jail for what they did. But why they did it is because they thought it would make them happier. Spirit of what they did is so that they could be happier. That's why the person broke into the car downtown Santa Cruz and stole the woman's purse right off the seat. Didn't do it because he wanted the purse. It's not even his color. Yeah. He went over inside the purse so he could buy the drugs and make himself happy. Just so he could be happy. He was like envisioning sitting on the edge of the wharf drinking or doing or whatever he could buy with that, what was in the purse. That you should understand. You can actually have that experience. You can dream to understand that they're only doing that stupid, crazy thing that they did because they thought after it was done that they would be just a little happier. You do things for the exact same reason. That's the essence of them and the essence of you. That's the spirit of your motivation. And everybody's motivation, it turns out. Now, the truth in you, okay, wrong-minded, right-minded. When the right-minded takes over, it's like a higher perspective. Sees through the things that would be so difficult and so painful. The awakening, this is why you want enlightenment, isn't it? Because enlightenment sucks. Being a victim sucks. Having to deal with the problems of life, not knowing how to get through them, sucks. And yet, if you've done this book, you know you can free your mind. You've been there. So, let's just celebrate some of the happy things that happen. One of them is all the stones get removed from your path. That sounds pretty good to me. Mm-hmm. Turn also to workbook page 255, paragraph 18. In the back of the book, page 255. Let's read another nice paragraph. Paragraph 18. Some of the good news. Give me some good news. What do you get when you free your mind from all this suffering? What do you get? How does it? What happens then? Well, when you get there, would you read first paragraph 18?
Yes. What could you not accept if you but knew that everything that happens, all events, past, present, and to come, are gently planned by one whose only purpose is your good? Perhaps you have misunderstood his plan, for he would never offer pain to you. But your defenses did not let you see him, see his loving blessing shining every step you ever took. While you made plans for death, he led you gently to eternal life.
That's a different way to look at it. Barry, would you read that paragraph again, same one?
Okay.
Yep.
What could you not accept if you but knew that everything that happens, all events past, present, and to come, are gently planned by one whose only purpose is your good? Perhaps you have misunderstood his plan, for he would never offer pain to you. But your defenses did not let you see his loving blessing shine in every step you ever took. While you made plans for death, he led you gently to eternal life.
The right thinking was always watching and always healing as you faced problems. Even then, it says, I got the miracle for that. Just ask. I have the miracle for that. And it will make you stronger when you see it. It'll make you more free when you see it. Let's read more about that. Turn to page 280 in the text, and we'll be closing with this. Page 280 in the text. And let's just read two paragraphs. It's more of the good news. Because it gets hard in here. When we talk about this horrible person that you can't just cut them off. They have to go with you. That gets pretty uncomfortable. But it is your freedom. Yep, it is your freedom. It's love everywhere, folks. You just can't see it. Love is everywhere. And the loveliest place on all of Earth
is where I'm past.
An ancient hatred.
Hatred has been
becomes.
Come. Or, yeah.
A present love.
Mm-hmm.
The ugliest thing you can find becomes the most beautiful thing you've ever beheld. Wow. But that would be perfect freedom, wouldn't it? Mm. Perfect freedom. If love is true. That's perfect freedom. Okay, let's read two paragraphs so we have just enough time to do it. Zoe, I think you're up. Paragraph 5.
5 here? Or it, 5
page 280.
Here. Yeah. Okay. Before?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Before you make any decisions for yourself, remember that you have decided against your function in heaven. And then consider carefully whether you want to make decisions here. Whoa. Your function here is only to decide against deciding what you want.
And you should really underline the word you there. What you pitiful little juvenile ego, you want.
Yes.
In recognition that you do not know, how then can you decide what you should do? Leave all decisions to the one who speaks for God and for your function as he knows it. So will he teach you to remove the awful burden you have laid upon yourself by loving not the Son of God.
That's what the suffering is with this assholy one. You block the possibility of loving the essence of that person by looking at their addiction, by looking at their ugliness. You've decided that their outside makes their inside not lovable, haven't you? This is what you wake up from. Please continue.
and trying to teach him guilt instead of love.
Guilt means that they've done something that requires punishment, and it's fair. They did something to hurt you. You're teaching that. Opposite of love.
Give up this frantic and insane attempt that cheats you of the joy of living with your God and Father, and of waking gladly to His love and holiness that join together as the truth in you, making you one with Him.
And Brother John, paragraph 6?
I'll pass.
Okay. Now, when you've learned how to decide with God, all decisions become as easy and as right as breathing. There's no effort, and you will be led as gently as if you were being carried down a quiet path in summer. Only your own volition seems to make deciding hard. The Holy Spirit will not delay in answering your every question what to do. He knows. And He will tell you. And then do it for you. Mm-hmm. You who are tired will find this is more restful than sleep. For you can bring your guilt into sleeping, but you can't bring your guilt into this.
Wow, what a great way to end.
Yes, indeed. Let's have a circle. You dreamers. Thank you for joining in this meeting of Egos Anonymous. Once again, we have gathered together to bust these repetitive thoughts that you've been having that tend to make you uncomfortable and argue about life and living and even thinking, clouding up your freedom, bringing you darkness where it could be light. It could be fun, Jason says. You know, if you just somehow let go of the fear and the guilt, it could be fun. This is up to you. There is nobody that makes you think anything. Ever. So, please, remember how simple it is. Seek no further than your own thoughts. If you're not thinking happy thoughts, it's you who's not thinking happy thoughts. Get still. Get simple. Open A Course in Miracles. Read a page out loud. I don't care which page. Just read it out loud. And see if you don't have a little light spark at that moment to say, choose again. You know what? Let's try that. Let's try that minute over again and see what happens. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Thanks, everybody. Give me that section.
We're fine.
Fine.
Beyond.
Lowercase.